So I'm here with Grand Chief Derek Napanak, who is with the Assembly of Manitoba Chiefs. We're here at the People's Social Forum on Algonquin Territory in Ottawa. Derek, how are you doing today?
I'm very good, thank you.
Great. I want to talk to you about a few different things, but maybe we'll start with kind of a local issue from Manitoba. A really tragic incident that, of course, has touched a lot of people from last weekend. Two Aboriginal people were pulled out of the water, the river in Winnipeg, including one young Aboriginal woman, Tina Fontaine. I know you've spoken a little bit about this in the media, but maybe just to get your reflection on what these deaths have meant to your community.
Well, certainly, you know, the death of Tina Fontaine, being a 15-year-old girl in the streets of Winnipeg, is a stark reminder to all of us as the tragedies that are unfolding in the streets of the cities across the nation. We, as Indigenous people, see, you know, the incidents of this happening far too often. We recognize that it's an anomaly within the social construct of the nation state that we live in, called Canada. And this anomaly deserves a greater degree of attention, brought forward by a caring government that would oversee an inquiry into why these things are happening. Now, the challenge that we face right now is that we are governed by a Harper regime that is indifferent to the issue, believing that it's a policing issue, and that if we leave these issues to the police investigators, they'll take care of themselves. But we know, and most Canadians know, that this is a systemic problem, and it reflects the social ills that we live in. And we continue to call for a national inquiry into missing and murdered Indigenous women from our territory back home, recognizing that for each and every child that falls prey in the streets of the cities, that it creates great trauma and reverberates throughout, not just First Nations communities, but to society in general.
What do you think it will take in order to have that push to get an inquiry into this issue? I mean, people, Aboriginal groups and communities have been calling for this for a long time. The Harper government's refused it. What do you think it will take?
Well, it's going to take something other than indifference. It's going to take something other than apathy, which unfortunately seems to be the tact of the Harper regime right now. What we've seen and what we believe is at issue here for Harper's government is that this is a financial consideration, and that they don't want to make the investment into helping build healthier societies. And I've said time and time again with this government that Mr. Harper has to look beyond the balance sheet and beyond the income statement to recognize that Canada is made up of people. We're not made up of numbers. And to govern a country of great social diversity the way Canada is constructed requires someone that is not just like going to look at the financial statement, but it's going to look at people.
Mm-hmm. I was just at another workshop where there were speakers talking about the need for social movements like those gathered here at the People's Social Forum to address some of the root causes of the issues that people face in the land that we call Canada. One of those issues, of course, being colonialism and colonization. Do you feel that that's a discussion that's happening right now?
I think it's a discussion that's certainly happening right now. I think for a very, very considerable amount of time, since we began organizing ourselves particularly for Indigenous people, when we began organizing ourselves within political aggregates, we began to raise the profile of the lack of recognition that we have as Indigenous people, the lack of recognition towards our rights of self-determination, our rights of self-government, our rights of rebuilding the institutions that once allowed us to thrive in our own homelands. We began building that discussion, and recognizing that the greatest barrier to the realization of that is the ongoing colonialism, the colonialism that's reflected in the policies and the laws that are being created by most prominently this conservative government. I mean, it's been there for a number of generations now, but we have seen in the last probably four to five years a ramping up of the colonial effort by the Harper regime to stamp out anything that would reflect the unique cultural diversity and identities of Indigenous people.
Amongst the things that you've done throughout your career and your activism, you've got a really interesting little biography here, but one of the things that you've done is you've done motorcycle tours throughout the prairies to educate people about treaty rights and responsibilities. Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. One of the most effective tools of colonialism that First Nations people live under is the Indian Act. And the Indian Act has been manipulated in such a way to convince Indigenous people that treaty rights flow from the Indian Act. So what happens is that our people go and they make attempts to acquire what's called a status Indian card. And with that status Indian card, a lot of our people believe that they've acquired treaty rights from that card. Now, the purpose of the Treaty Freedom Ride, which we did, was to travel into the communities throughout Western Canada representing seven different treaty areas. We went into the communities and we did discussions and open forums about what it is to be a treaty person. And as far as I'm concerned, based on my extensive background education in both the universities across the country as well as the teachings from the land and from our elders back home, is that the treaties are separate and apart from the administration of Indian affairs under the Indian Act. So we've been squeezed into this small little category of Indians under Section 9124 of Canada's Constitution, when in fact we are free Indigenous people. And as free Indigenous people, we have all the rights, both domestic and international, to self-determine who we are and to reacquire a treaty-based identity, which is the true source of our freedom, the true source of our power as the original people here. So that's what the Treaty Freedom Ride was all about, was to bring a new generation forward with a new awareness outside of the Indian Act.
What have you found the reception to be like within non-Indigenous or settler communities that you've talked to? I mean, is there a reception there?
I think there certainly is reception there because, you know, a lot of the communities that I travel throughout, a lot of the people I talk to recognize that we don't live in these isolated bubbles. You know, we live in a highly integrated and socially complex society, and within that society there are many degrees of interactions. So, you know, I have never tried to pit us as Indigenous people versus settler society and define interests and barriers on that line. I've always looked at it as an effort to try to integrate and build strong and powerful relationships so that we can become the true society that the treaty relationship promised. You know, we can be, you know, I think one of the most powerful countries in the world if we look at and embrace the diversity that we share, you know, between Indigenous people and settler society interests on the land.
You're going to be giving a presentation later today out in the People's Square here at the Social Forum. Can you tell us, just maybe give us a bit of a preview, tell us what you're going to be talking about there?
Well, you know, a lot of my work oftentimes focuses on counter-messaging towards the popular false narratives of the Harper government. So that's what I'll be focusing on. I'm going to be focusing on education. I'm going to be focusing on missing and murdered Indigenous women and the need for a national public inquiry. And I'm also going to be talking about the education of First Nations people on reserve and off reserve, the complexities around the Education Act that they're trying to push, you know, onto the backs of the people in the communities. I'm also going to be talking about resource development and the need for a more focused approach on alternative energy sources. Manitoba First Nations leadership working with Saskatchewan First Nations leadership is going to focus on the creation of an earth, wind, water, fire energy conference where we look at bringing in experts in the areas of the four elements and begin the discussion on how do we integrate those elements together to create alternative energy, which is going to provide safe environments for another 1,000 generations of people.
And what are you hoping that will come out of a forum like this? This is one of the biggest gatherings of its kind in our country's history. Maybe some of the kind of broad goals or what you're hoping to see come out of this.
Well, I've always believed that building strong networks towards you know, an ideal of what Canada could be is a primary driver of the work that I do. So, you know, I hope that the forum is convened to look at, you know, working towards finding a government that will work for our people. And we have faced a tremendous amount of problems as Indigenous people trying to work with a Conservative government that doesn't care, that is indifferent to the existence of the unique rights of Indigenous people. And we're looking for allies towards finding a different government to work with in the coming years.
Great. Again, I'm with Grand Chief Derek Napanak of the Assembly of Manitoba Chiefs here at the People's Social Forum in Ottawa. Thank you so much.
Thank you for the opportunity. Miigwech.